translation in purple by Srila Prabhupada. The father Manu handed over his first daughter Akuti to the sage Ruchi, the middle daughter Devahuti to the sage Kodama, and the youngest Prasuti to Daksha. From them, all the world filled with population. Purple. The history of the creation of the population of the universe is given herewith. Brahma is the original living creature in the universe, from whom were generated the Manu Svayambhuva and his wife Satarupa. From Manu, two sons and three daughters were born, and from them all the population in different planets has sprung up until now. Therefore, Brahma is known as the grandfather of everyone, and the personality of Godhead, being the father of Brahma, is known as the great grandfather of all living beings. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 11.39 as follows. Vayu Yama Agnir Varuna Sushankaha Pajapatistvam Prapita Mahascha Namo Namaste Stu Sahasrakritva Gunascha Boya Api Namo Namaste. You are the Lord of Air, you, the Supreme Justice Yama, the Fire, and the Lord of the Rains. You are the Moon, you are the great grandfather. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 12th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Creation of the Kumaras and Others. Om Gyananti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Meritam Jena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Jaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Upagadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Kauravani Pacharine Nivase Sasvanyavari Pashtachade Shatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasti Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthana Bhutale Shmati Shivaram Swami Iti Namine Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavinbhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. I first have permission from all the Vaishnavas assembled and anyone else who may be listening that I will say something at least inspiring for myself, maybe something for others. Hare Krishna. There were some microphone problems again. So, we were discussing recently, what's the most commonly used first word in Bhagavatam class? Anybody know? So I'm going to start today's class with the word so. So, we continue. This verse is all about progeny. There's a few things that can be said about this verse, but that's one thing. And I will... And also, it's about how Lord Brahma gave authority and order to others and to engage in certain activity. So following the order of the Guru, that's another thing we can possibly discuss, if I don't forget. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 14.4, Sarva yonishu kunteya muteya sambhavantiyaha tasam tasam brahma mahat yoni aham bija pradapita. Krishna says aham bij pradapita, I am the seed given father of everything. It should be understood that life, all species of life take birth in this material world, and I am the seed given father. So in a material sense, a man and woman unite in sexual union, as is described in this verse here. And the result is that another living entity is born. Srila Prabhupada explains also in the Bhagavatam that the living entity enters the semen of the father, and therefore the semen enters the womb, and therefore the living entity acquires a particular body. But that is only possible because Krishna first glances over the Mahatattva, the material energy, and impregnates the material energy. And then all the living entities are able to acquire different bodies according to their past deeds. So a living entity is wandering throughout this material universe. Are there some Be a Monk Challenge people here? How many? Okay, all right. So I'll try to make it applicable for everyone to understand. And this is one of the most complex sections of the Bhagavatam, creation of the universe. So the living entity is wandering throughout the universe, Brahmanda, Brahminte, Kwaniya, Bhagyava, and Jiva. And according to their activities, their desire, two things. It says deva, kamana, deva, nitrena. Kama and deva, nitrena. Although deva is translated as Krishna, but it can also mean the demigods, because Krishna empowers the demigods in order to do a certain activity. He doesn't do it personally himself. He's got more important things to do, like herding cows in Vrindavan and having loving exchanges with his gopi friends, the cow damsels of Raj. So he empowers powered living entities, the demigods. So that we are according to our karma, we take birth in this material world. And then finally, out of the 8,400,000 species of life, only 400,000 are human. Right? And these species are throughout the entire universe. So the human form of life is very rare. It's very rare, very rarely achieved, actually. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says to his friends when he's preaching to them, he said, the human opportunity, the human form of life is a great opportunity. You have taken birth, and even though this material body is temporary, it is the greatest opportunity. And what's that opportunity is to, again, re-establish our relationship with Krishna. But someone may say, Prabhupada says, someone may say, oh, I don't need to become serious in this lifetime. Let me enjoy material life. Let me become a materialist. And even I've even heard devotees saying this. I can't become too serious. It's too difficult for me. It's impossible. So let me enjoy life, material life, and then in my next life, I'll take birth as a devotee, and then I'll continue my Krishna consciousness. And Prahlad Maharaj, he defeats this. He says that we are entangled in this material world. Is it too loud? He says we are entangled in this material world. And the material body is temporary. And any moment, just like that, we may have to leave. All right? And we hear so many stories, even devotees leaving their body, maybe in a car accident, something happens. But of course, that's for devotees, that's all Krishna's plan. But Prahlad Maharaj says that any moment we may have to be forced to leave this body, and we may be, and then we're going to be forced to enter another body. It's not our choice what body we enter, although it can be. But if we're on a material platform, it will not be our choice. So therefore, to think that I have control over my destiny, like I have control over what body I enter. That's like saying I am in control of the material energy. But Krishna says this material energy is so difficult to overcome. It's impossible on your own. It's impossible. You can't. So it's foolish to think like that. Yeah. So an intelligent person would take up Krishna consciousness, not today, not tomorrow, or the day after, not when I've finished my university degree and got married and had a family and had children, etc. No, they will think, no, I got to become Krishna conscious right now, this moment. Because life is, you don't know what's going to happen. Unexpected. And we have no control over the material energy, she's so strong. So therefore, let me become a devotee now, right now. And in this way, by surrendering to Krishna, then to a certain degree, we can be in control. But only knowing that ultimately Krishna is the benedict of everything. Like this. So in the first line of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that this is the history of the population of the universe, right? First line. So we can see, according to scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana, the greatest history. So whatever we hear in the Bhagavatam, because we have faith, we believe in that. Even though we, as devotees, we don't fully understand everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam because our minds are limited. We do not even know what's going on in our own mind most of the time. The mind is dragging us here and there and all over the place. But if we simply have faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can overcome the demands of the mind and the senses. But this description in this verse here is a huge contrast to the description by the atheists. What did they say? They say life comes from matter. Well, there was a big bang, and then there was some, it's called a primordial soup, right? And from this primordial soup, some life form came about for no reason. They can't explain why. And then the aquatics came about. And then one day, one fish decided to just jump on the shore. I don't know why, but he did. And then it just happened to grow arms and legs. And some of the fish grew wings, so they climbed up the trees and they became birds. So, and then it grew some arms and legs, and then it evolved into the first ape-like creatures who are all our ancestors. Yeah. And then these apes, they evolved into the first human-like creatures, the Homo sapiens, yes. And then these Homo sapiens, they migrated from the African continent into Europe. And some even migrated from the African continent all the way to Australia in canoes. I mean, do they even have enough food? But this nonsense they are teaching in schools and universities, this is the history of the population of the universe, they're saying. This is how the universe was populated, or at least this world. They cannot conceive even of the universe. But when Srimad Bhagavatam speaks, it speaks about the entire universe. Yeah. So we can understand how it's explained here that Lord Brahma, from Lord Brahma's contemplation, because he was upset that the sages weren't able to produce enough progeny. I was thinking, why is that? Does it explain why the sages couldn't? Does anybody know? So I was thinking, well, you know, if you wanna progenate the entire universe, sages are probably the last people you want to use, right? They won't be interested in family life. Let us read the scriptures instead of, you know, engaging in sexual activity. So Lord Brahma, he was thinking, what's going on? This is not working out, you know. So he took some time out and he contemplated. So his contemplation is also very important for us, you know. Sometimes we're running around, even as devotees, it's so intense. So even the morning program can be quite intense, right? Sometimes I was thinking that the morning program, you don't have time to speak to anyone, right? You have Mangal Aarti, and then straight after Mangal Aarti, there's an announcement, and then there's Nisshinga Dev prayers, and then there's Tulsi Puja, and then there's Japa for 2 hours, and there's Siddhi greeting, and then there's class. So you can go through the whole morning program and not speak to anyone. And then you have prasadam. It's the only time you can. But then devotees go in there sometimes with earphones, so they don't want to speak to anyone. So, I lost track. I lost train of thought. Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah, Lord Brahma was contemplating. So contemplation is very, very important thing for devotees. It's said that every 1 hour you read, you should contemplate for 3 hours on what you've read, which means discussing with devotees about what you've read. So we can discuss and we can speak our realization. And we can also speak about any doubts we may have about Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important process of spiritual life. So Lord Brahma, he understood this. So he's contemplating, he's thinking. And then Krishna gives him an intelligence. Two personalities appear from his body. One, Svayambhuva Manu and Satarupa wife. And those two, so they have 5 children between them. And between the 5 of them, they populate the entire universe. And we can see that in future cantos, Devahuti and Kadama give birth to 9 sons, 1 daughter. No, sorry, 9 daughters and 1 son. 8, yeah, and 1 son. And that son is Kapiladev, and that's in the 5th canto. Is it? 3rd canto. Oh, yeah. And in Priyavata, he's mentioned in the 5th canto, I think, isn't he? So they're giving birth to great personalities. Great personalities. They are sages. So they're able to have amazing offspring. The process of having children, that the children, according to the consciousness of the parents, enter the womb of the mother. So the demons are giving birth to demoniac children, and the devotees are giving birth to saintly children, hopefully. It doesn't always work out like that. But the principle is there. by producing saintly children, we populate the planet with saintly people, and in this way, the consciousness of the entire planet changes from mode of ignorance, passion, to goodness. This is the process. So you can either produce good population and change the atmosphere of the universe that way. That may be a bit slow for us, especially living in Kali Yuga, when most of the people who take birth in human bodies are not even human. Prabhupada said, the consciousness they are taking birth in, they are like two-legged animals. So we have a quick route. And what is that Lord Chaitanya has given us in this age of Kali? Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then we can attain perfection like that. So I'm just going to go back a bit. So the scientists, when we tell them, no, this is the way it's done in scripture, they say, oh no, this is nonsense. This is not, this is nonsense. No, the apes were, you know, the fish turned into apes and the apes and this and that. This actually happened. So they won't believe that we tell them, what we tell them. Why? Because their consciousness is totally engrossed in material consciousness, material things. When one's consciousness is engrossed in matter, you cannot understand spirit. Right? You can only understand spirit if your consciousness is engaged in spiritual activity. Therefore, Bhishma Dev, he says, once you not try to understand with logic that which is inconceivable, things which lie beyond our things which lie beyond the material nature are said to be inconceivable by persons who are subjected to the modes, like that. So they cannot understand like this. Therefore, only with, and he quotes the verse, Trinada Pisani Chena Toroi Vasa Hishnana Manina Manidena Kirtaniya Sadahari. We have to be tolerant, we have to be humble. A humble servant of the master and serving the spiritual master. And in this way, we can understand. The whole process of given in the scripture is evolution of consciousness, not evolution of the body. So according to our consciousness, we take birth in higher or lower forms of life, like that. So Srila Prabhupada's quoting this verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it on now? This verse here, 11:39, where he says, this is from the 11th chapter, the universal form. Arjuna is saying, you are the Lord of the air, you are the Supreme Justice, Yama, fire, the Lord of the rains, you are the moon. He's saying all this to Krishna. You are the great grandfather. I offer my sweatful obeisances unto you. Like that. So Krishna is considered the great grandfather because he's the father of Brahma. And everything that we perceive in this material world is the manifestation of Krishna's potency, Krishna's energy. Right? Just like you see the sun. What is the sun? Fire. Where does the fire come from? It's not something which is produced just from material elements alone. The fire is Savitu, it is Krishna. As is said in the Brahma Gayatri Om Bhuvasva Tat Savitu Varenyam. Let me meditate in the effulgence of the sun. And the sun is also the eye of the Supreme Lord. And it's coming directly from Krishna's transcendental body, the sun. So Krishna, he is the origin of the sun, and he's the origin of everything in this material world. Right? He is the, of the, he says, of the Adityas, I am the Vishnu. There are 12 Adityas. 12 Adityas are these 12 sons of Aditi, who's the mother of the demigods. And these 12 sons are represented 12 months of the year and the orbit of the sun. And Krishna, Vamana Dev is one of them. So Krishna says, I am. And he's also the sun itself, because it's coming from his transcendental body. So Krishna's created everything perfectly in this material world. Everything's perfect. Even the way the universe was populated, it's all perfect. But we come along and we cause problems in Kali Yuga, right? Now there's so many problems in this country. They're saying this country is becoming overpopulated with certain minority, and people are not happy with this. But everything Krishna has done is all completely perfect. But you take birth in a certain country because your skin's a certain color and you can handle the heat, so many things. But everyone wants to come to one place and then it causes problems. But this is all material. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. What matters is our spiritual consciousness. How is my relationship with Krishna developing like that? So we're all here today. You are all here. Is your first time in the temple? Well, no, you've been before, you guys? You've all been before, yeah? So you're familiar. Yeah. But we can understand the importance of becoming Krishna conscious, becoming elevating our consciousness. Yeah. And instead of having dog consciousness, we actually have a human consciousness. And demigod consciousness is higher, and devotee consciousness is the highest. Like that. We should try to see Krishna everywhere in this material world. It's easy to see Krishna when you're in a temple room, surrounded by so much spiritual activity. But when we go into our daily activities, our work, it's a lot harder, all right? Because the mind is forced to think about our maintenance and so many things. But if we not get too tied up in that, we should always think that Krishna is the ultimate maintainer of everyone. So there's a verse in the Swarmasmi, Advaitam Achutam Anadi Mananta Rupam Adhya Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Dulabam Adulabam Atma Bhakti Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Majami. So Lord Brahma says, you are the primary of all, Lord. I worship Govinda, the primary of all, Lord, who is not understood by just reading scriptures alone, but is only understood through bhakti or devotional service, like that. So just by reading the books alone, we cannot understand Krishna. We have to serve the order of the spiritual master and engage in devotional service. And in this way, we can understand like that. And then Krishna empowers us. He gives us realization from within the heart, just like he did to Lord Brahma. Advaita. Krishna is Advaita. He is one without a second. There's no one superior to him and there's no one equal to him. Advaitam Achutam. Achuta without. Advaitam Achuta without decay. Advaitam Achutam. He's without decay. Jaitam Chuta Anadim. Anadim. He's the beginning. Jaitam Chuta Anadim. Ananta Rupam. He has unlimited forms. Prana Purusha. He's the oldest person He's the oldest person in the universe. But at the same time, he's Navayovanam. He's also, he has an eternal youthful form. So there's a few lot of contradictions in this verse. But those contradictions are only possible in Krishna. Because Krishna, he is not limited by time and space. There is no time in the spiritual world. In a sense, there's no past and there's no future. We in the material world, we're always worrying about, or we're always dwelling about the past. Only if I did this, only if I picked that number, I would have won the lottery. Damn. You know, only if this and only if that. And the future, we're always worried about the future. We're always thinking, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, I have to get my children educated. I have to get my children married off. I have to, who's going to maintain me when I get old? Who's going to look after me? So many things, right? But in the spiritual world, there is no past. There's no future. Therefore, there's no lamenting and there's no dwelling. No lamenting about, worrying about the future. No lamenting about the past. So if we get into Krishna consciousness, then all these things, these worries from our minds, they go away slowly. Not going to be overnight like that. But we have to follow the process. And in this age, what is the process? Do you know what the process is? The main process in this age? Is he practicing yoga? Hatha yoga? Is it? Is that the process? Huh? Yeah, the holy name. Not Hatha yoga. Not this yoga or that yoga. Only the bhakti yoga. Chanting the holy name of the Lord and hearing about Srimad Bhagavatam. And this way the heart becomes purified. Shivatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyantastohi Bhadrani Vidinati Sritsatam. Krishna, he's in the heart of the devotee and he destroys the desire for material enjoyment. To that person who's developed an urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Like that. So we need to hear, we need to chant. Follow the process, and this way we develop a spontaneous taste, right? Because the devotees in Vrindavan, they do not see Krishna as the supreme master of the entire universe. They see him as their friend, their lover, their son, like that. Although they have a little inkling of this sometimes, but due to the potency of yoga maya, it's taken away. And therefore, they're just engaged in loving devotional service to Krishna. Just like when Krishna comes back from herding the cows in the forest, they all see the dust of the cow, hoof prints, the wood, and so they're all waiting for Krishna to come back. And then he finally comes back, and then Mother Yashoda runs down Nandishwara Hill, because Nanda Maharaj's palace is on a hill. She runs down a hill and she embraces Krishna and Balaram, and they're covered in dust. And then she wipes their faces with her sari. And it's said that she puts them on a, seats them on a golden throne, and then feeds them chapatis with sugar. So this is going on in Vrindavan. They're not seeing Krishna as the supreme controller of the entire universe. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Ananta Rupam. Their devotion to Krishna has progressed to a higher level. But we have to start somewhere. So we start by seeing Krishna as the creator of the entire universe and Krishna's supreme. And we offer respect to him like that. And then in this way, as we progress in spiritual life, our consciousness will progress to developing more love and devotion to Krishna, like that. And this devotion and love will become spontaneous. And then with that spontaneous devotion, by serving Krishna, and then we can go to Vrindavan, back home, back to Godhead, and serve Krishna eternally, where there's no more worries, no more birth, death, old age and disease, no more giving up this material body. Because no one likes to die. Why is that? Do you know why? Yeah, because the soul is eternal. Therefore, we don't never want to die. We want to be eternal. So only by serving Krishna, then we can become eternal. Hare Krishna. I'm going to stop here. It's 8:30. Are there any questions? Yeah. Adi Guru Prabhu.
Of their children would be able to light fire by mantra.
Yeah.
And so there is some indication that throughout the generations, more purity will strength, of course, spiritual yeah. strength will yeah. be there. Mm. And they said, why not us, Srila Prabhupada? Why not our children? And Prabhupada said, because they have to associate with you.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I was thinking about that also. Like, the future generations are going to become more and more potent. But we may be the future generations. You understand? You know, you take birth again into the world.
Oh,
Krishna says, the unsuccessful yogi takes birth in a family, a rich aristocratic family, a Brahmin family, or a Vaishnava family. So we may be those future generations who are able to light the fire with mantra. But we should desire to go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime, because this material world is a very, very dangerous place. At every step there's danger. All right? You agree? Huh? Yeah, I mean, you just have to read the news, you know, what's going on. But the material world is such, the Maya is such, that we always think it's never going to happen to me. So many people are dying every day. So many people are dying. Even in our community, as devotees, whatever community you're in. If you want to open a business, be an undertaker. You'll never be short of customers. So any intelligent person will automatically think, well, yeah, I mean, it's going to happen to me. So therefore, I should prepare for it. Let me prepare for it. Just like when you're taking an exam, you're preparing for this exam, right? If you don't prepare for it, then you're going to fail. So this is our preparation. But chanting the holy name is the supreme activity above all activities in this age of Kali. Anyone else?
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Is it on? Yes. So those people who postponed, like you in the beginning, you mentioned
post
that.
What?
Postponed. They put off. They say we'll leave it until next time, next birth or something. You have that, and in contrast, you have those who met Prabhupada, and they obviously Prabhupada had the potency, and he could convince just about anyone.
Yeah.
But they surrendered straight away, and they became sannyasis and you know, and really elevated people, personalities. And then you have those who deliberate on this issue about spirituality, even though they're in touch with it, they're in contact with it, and they put it off.
Yeah.
Is it to do with secrecy from previous life?
What?
Secrecy. I could never pronounce that word properly.
Sukriti.
Sukriti.
Yeah. Punya. Prior activity from previous life.
Yeah. Is that what it boils down to, basically?
Yeah. There's two. There's those who, from their previous pious activity, they advance in spiritual life. Yeah. And those devotees you can see who advance very, very quickly. They join and they're like, you know,
shoot up in the air and you think, wow, that's amazing. You know exactly that from their previous life they were just continuing their devotional service. In their previous life they were devotees. Then it's a lot easier. And those who come for the first time in this lifetime, but you don't know, it might be your third, might be your second, fourth, or whatever, you don't know. Those who come for the first time, then it's a little bit more difficult. Prabhupada said once, I don't know where, but no, Prabhupada said three lifetimes as a devotee to go back to Godhead, minimum. But Prabhupada said once to the devotees, he said, I am your Sukriti. Yeah. Because they were worried when Prabhupada said, oh, it takes, you have to take three births, it's not so easy. And then they said, well, Prabhupada, well, you know, how are we going to, if we haven't had nothing in our previous life? And Prabhupada said, I am your Sukriti. So this is why surrendering to a pure devotee, surrendering to a devotee is a very important process in our spiritual life.
As you said that, something came to mind. I met a devotee, a Prabhupada disciple, I won't call name, that his name, and in Guyana. And he's been in the movement for, he's from New York, but I met him in Guyana with his wife. And he admitted to me that he's probably not going to make it. It's probably heavenly planet for him, destination. He said this to me. He admitted that even though he's a Prabhupada disciple, he's been in the movement for 40 years. And he's kind of, he's carrying on, but he actually consciously is aware that he hasn't done enough.
Yeah. Those who take up Krishna consciousness or spiritual activity, but they do not fully absorb, they kind of stay on the edge of material life and spiritual life, and they're more likely to take birth in the heavenly planets. But those who are fixed, either they go back to Godhead or they take birth again in this mature world in devotee families, and that will become their last birth. This is why Prabhupada said, most of my disciples will, did he say that, go to the heavenly planets. I think there's a question over there on the lady's side, Subhadra. You want to pass the mic up there? Does it go over there? What happened to the wireless mic? Huh? Someone stole it. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Come to the temple. Stealing stuff. We should, there's CCTV here, but still, you can't figure out who did it. All right.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking, like, to play the devil's advocate, you were saying how it's ridiculous, you know, that the fish, they jumped on the land and grew wings. But why should it be any more reasonable that, you know, the lotus sprouted from somebody's, you know, navel, and then from Brahma's, between his eyebrows, some blue child came out, and then, you know, from just from his body again?
Yeah, no, I mentioned that. And therefore, Bhishma Dev says, do not try to understand that which is beyond our realization. And so we're not saying people should completely believe in that. We're just saying take out the process of spiritual life, and then faith will develop. So who do we want to have faith in? These scientists who are atheists, who do not believe in any God, that life just came from a bit of mush, you know? All this intelligent life we have. It says that just the human brain alone is more complex than the entire universe. They cannot even understand the human brain, how it works, right? So we are meant to have faith in these people who really don't even have no understanding of even their own brains, you know? Or have faith in scripture, which is coming from God. you take the choice who you want to believe.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's not knowledge that we came from apes. No. They.
Science is there.
What's the fact?
But like you said, they don't know their brains, but there's so much brain science.
No, but I'm talking specifically about life coming from matter. I'm not talking about everything.
Yeah, but they don't understand. They're still researching how the things come from the vacuum and all that, like different types of science. But they it's not that they can't use science to explain. Like they're searching for ways to explain spirituality.
Yeah, and they're researching, and they can research for millions and millions of years. They'll never come to a conclusion.
Yeah.
It's all it's just a theory.
But we can use science to prove our we can use science in Krishna's service. We can use science to prove that vibration of sound vibrates and creates. Beautiful, you can talk to a snowflake.
I'm sure you can.
Fine.
If you want to use science to talk to snowflakes, then you can do that. But I'm specifically in this class, I'm talking about life coming from matter. I'm not talking about talking to snowflakes or anything like that.
She's saying that. I don't know what she's saying, but the point is.
What did she. Anyway. She said, how is it that we can believe that, lotus sprouted from Lord Brahma's navel Lord Vishnu's navel when all Brahma came about, but we can't believe that life comes from primordial soup. And I said, you cannot. No, you can't. You can't believe both. As devotees, we don't believe in both. We only believe in one. And I said, it's only to do with faith. I can't prove to you, and I don't want to prove to you, and I don't want to prove to anyone, because you can't. It's all to do with faith, and the process of bhakti yoga will help develop our faith. And you have a choice. Yeah, okay. All right, so get some dirt from the ground, put it in a test tube, and see if it turns into a human being after.
It doesn't.
No, of course it doesn't. Then why did you say? But you can't convince someone just by words alone.
You have to convince people.
We have to explain to them the process of spiritual life, and then they have a choice: they can accept it or not accept it. But this is our process to give people an opportunity to understand higher knowledge, because knowledge. Is knowledge comes down from a higher source. What did you want to? Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, even though our explanation sounds a bit fantastic or whatever. But,
Like Lord Brahma coming from a lotus.
Yeah, sure, but the basic principle behind it makes more sense because it's based on the idea that there is actually a creator rather, as opposed to everything coming by chance, which makes no sense. And it's, just...
Hare Krishna. It's interesting that if you look at the history of, say, Christian religion... They got it wrong about a lot of things, like when it comes to relationship between material science and religion. So, for example, Copernicus, he was like a heretic because he said, Earth goes around the sun rather than the sun goes around the Earth, etc. But we see, there's always a modification. See, the way I look at it, these scriptures are beyond our understanding, and we, based upon all our knowledge, we try to understand them as best we can. And sometimes if material science advances, certain our perspective changes, and therefore we then interpret scripture to match certain things with material science. And that itself is not wrong, as long as we understand that we don't understand scripture. See, who actually understands scripture fully? It's beyond our conception. So I notice that religious teachers, they may be correct because they believe in God, and certain material sciences are incorrect because they don't believe in God. But sometimes how you reconcile the different parts of knowledge, that is something that we can't do. We can only do according to our capacity. And I do think that we do make adjustments to how we interpret scripture based on other things that come up. But there's an interesting purport. Prabhupada says material scientists should use their knowledge to prove the existence of God, etc. So that is there in the scriptures. And it does happen. I mean, for example, we take quantum mechanics, for example.
Yeah, they should, but the point is... But the point is then they should use science to prove the existence of God. But the point is they're not doing that.
Yeah.
And they're not doing that. What they're doing is using science to increase the technology and the modern way of life, which is causing more and more suffering. You know, show me one scientist, or maybe there is, I don't know, I haven't really delved into that, who is using that.
They're doing the opposite, really.
Huh? Well, of course they're doing the opposite. Well, name one scientist then. Are you saying? Dr. Stevens?
Yeah.
What's his name? Okay, but the point is, these scientists, but the general scientific community are using science to increase their material way of life and technology. And technology isn't... We can see that, you know, now compared to the 80s and 90s, you know, people were a lot happier in the 80s and 90s because we didn't have all this technology. We didn't have... Children weren't glued to their phones. We were out playing. We spent the whole summer outside playing in the sun, enjoying the sun. I remember this summer I went to Watford. I was walking in Watford. I was going to the shops, doing a few little chores. And it was school holidays, all right? So in school holidays, all the mothers take the children out. And what did the council do? They put a huge, right down the bottom of Watford Town Centre, where the fountain is, they put a huge TV screen there, playing. And what were they playing? Cartoons. So I'm like thinking, what? You know, the children, the parents finally get the kids out off their phones and the computers, and then they come to Watford, and the council put this huge screen there. So this is modern science. This is what science is doing. They're turning all the children into robots. And there's so much... there's more suicide now with young people than has ever been. Because... By the time they reach the age of 10 and they've done everything, they've seen everything on their phones, they've experienced everything. There's nothing else for them to experience. So this is modern science. So it's getting late. Yeah, what's this question?
Just really quickly, I was actually talking to Cyrus Prabhu about this in our conversation last week. We were having breakfast and we were talking about AI and how actually using people have started to use AI as a way to understand consciousness. So, like programming. And I appreciate, obviously, it's technology, but everything is vibrational frequency.
I mean, AI... Yeah,
so I myself have... I've worked quite closely with AI on my phone, for example.
Sure, yeah.
And I use it to help me to understand consciousness or for AI to behave as consciousness because it's a mirror of myself. And I think, Cyrus, probably if you could back me up here in terms of what we were talking about how you can use it. So do you think that there is some sort of harmony between, I guess, not science, but technology and consciousness and, I guess, Krishna consciousness?
Not really. No, the only way we can understand, like I mentioned earlier, the only way you can understand spiritual matters is with spiritual consciousness. And spiritual consciousness does not develop from mundane matter things. It only develops when you serve the lotus feet of someone, a guru, who has that spiritual consciousness. I mean, the only good thing about AI, and it's a good thing about it, is nothing. It's not all terrible. If you Google something, if you search something, the first thing comes up now is AI. And I noticed recently, they must have read Prabhupada's books because it's all personal philosophy. If you Google, like, Krishna or God being omnipresent or omnipresent Lord, it will come up with the personal explanation of it. And it's usually from Prabhupada's books. So that whoever's created this AI thing, anyway, that's a good thing. You know, it's all...
Because AI has read the whole internet.
They must have read all of Prabhupada's books. So when you search, it's all personal philosophy, it's all Prabhupada's philosophy which is coming up. So that's a good... Huh? Anyway, we need to become Krishna conscious. We need to spread the holy name, go out and Harinam more. Right? This is a process Lord Chaitanya has given us. Because AI isn't going to...
No, we can use it to our advantage.
No, but... Of course, yeah, but they're using an eye of the scripture. They're not blindly. They're not doing it blindly. Yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
That's different.
Hare
Krishna. Gantarashima Bhagavatam Gita.